we're going to profit from them, we need to have a right understanding. And you'll find, I think I mentioned last week, you'll find that a lot of people that have written on the commandments start with this type of a consideration. All right, before we consider the commandments proper, let's just understand some of the rules that come into play that we need to keep in mind as we approach our study of the commandments, because you can change the impact of the commandments drastically depending on how you approach them. If you want to approach them and say, the Ten Commandments only mean exactly what they say, they're no broader, they don't mean a thing more than the words that are there, well, you're going to obviously restrict then the Ten Commandments and how they apply. So that's just one example. So we're going to look at these rules and consider the scripture. These aren't just things people have made up. They obviously have scriptural backing for them. And we're going to look at them before we get into the commandments proper. So let's just look at number one there. And again, if you don't have one of the handouts, I'll be glad to stop for a minute and you can get you one, because I'm just going to be reading straight from these things. And if you don't have it, you're at a bit of a disadvantage. You can listen, but if you have it, you can write on it or do whatever you want to with it. But first question, what rules are to be observed for the right understanding of the Ten Commandments? And the answer, for the right understanding of the Ten Commandments, these rules are to be observed. And we'll talk about each rule as we go along. Number one, that the law is perfect. Now that takes us back to chapter on the Word of God that we've dealt with in the confession. But just generally speaking, it's perfect in a number of ways. It's perfect because it's God's law, right? And there is nothing that God does that is not perfect. So the law, simply because of its source, is perfect. There is no deficiency in it. There is no error in it. There is no exaggeration in it. There is no lack of anything needed in it. Keep in mind, we've talked about the law of God is a revelation of God's will. So if it's not complete, if it's not perfect, then arguably, what? We can't know exactly, perfectly, God's will for us. What do the scriptures principally teach? The scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. If they aren't perfect, then can you be certain as to the duty that you understand is being required of you? So they are perfect because God gave them. They are perfect because they are totally sufficient. And they are perfect because there is nothing extra and nothing lacking in them in order for us to know God's will. The law is perfect. And you would note right down there in the bottom of 398, Psalm 19:7, that's exactly what the psalmist said. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The law is perfect, and bindeth everyone to full conformity in the whole man unto the righteousness thereof and unto entire obedience forever, so as to require the utmost perfection of every duty. Right? Here you got perfection coming into play again, but now it's on our side. As to require the utmost perfection of every duty, and to forbid the least degree of every sin. Okay? And we'll talk a little bit more about that. My first question on the opposite page, to whom do the Ten Commandments apply?
Everyone.
All right? Says that right there. And bindeth everyone. Now, a couple of things about this that we need to kind of make sure we we keep in mind. It includes everyone, but don't put the word else after that. All right? It doesn't include everyone else. It includes everyone. It includes me. It includes you. Now, it does. And we do. And we have to. We'll see as we go along. We have obligations in using the Word of God to help others. So I do not want to imply that there is never a time and a place where I'm looking at the Word of God relative to somebody else. Parents have to do that relative to children. Okay? It's part of your job. It's part of your duty to obey the Word of God. It's part of the duty, part of my duty as an elder and the elders of the church here, to look at God's Word relative to others. But before you ever look at God's Word relative to others, make sure you've looked at God's Word relative to yourself. You will never properly use it as to others if you're lacking in its use in your own heart and life. Right? People, we are all human. We make mistakes. We won't get it perfect. But the attitude of the heart, and this is my point here, is I want to know what God's Word requires of me, and I want to obey it as completely as a saved sinner can obey it. Then you move from there outward. Okay? Applies to everyone. And it applies to us no matter what everyone else is doing. We cannot use the excuse when we know better that, well, that's what everybody else was doing. You try that with a police officer, a highway patrol, or a judge. How fast were you going? I was doing 85. And what was the speed limit? 70. But, Your Honor, everybody was doing 85. And you were doing 85 with them? Yes, sir, I was. Okay, that's all I need to know. You're guilty. And here's your penalty. The judge ain't going to let you off because everybody else was doing 85. Okay? And that's true with keeping the law of God. And if everybody else is doing something contrary to the Word of God, then what do we need to do? We need to get away from them, don't we? If they're going to influence us to do the wrong thing, then we need to separate and get away for the moment to at least protect our own testimony and our own relationship with the Lord. It's, and again, in keeping, and I've touched on this already, but it's the revelation of the will of God for everything in our life. So as we come to these commandments and look at them, if you want to know what God, how He would have you act, what He would have you do, what He would have you say, what He would have you think, all right? It's here. We're going to touch on it. Some cases we may touch a lot more. In some cases, not so much. But understanding that if I have a full grasp of the Ten Commandments as the Word of God, as God intends for me to have, and as the Word of God allows me to have, if I've got a full grasp, I know how to live. That doesn't mean I'll always do it, but at least I know what I ought to do. That's the right starting place. I know what God wants me to do. And if you know that, you're a lot further along than a lot of folks. Because a lot of folks think, oh, well, I'll do what I think's best. I'll do what it seems the right thing to do under the circumstances. Well, God will direct me when the time comes. Now, again, there may be occasions where that's true. I don't mean to limit God's ability to give you wisdom and direction beyond your knowledge and your understanding. It's happened before, and it certainly can happen again. But don't tempt the Lord. Okay? If we never study God's word and we expect him to guide us, that's tempting the Lord. That's saying, Lord, I want you to do something that I have no reason for you to do, but you ought to do it anyway. You don't wing it and live the Christian life successfully. It takes work and it takes study. And then it takes the heart to comply. All right? And that last part of rule number one, so as to require the utmost perfection of every duty and to forbid the least degree, means we are to keep everything about it perfectly. We can't. You know that, I know that. But here's the standard. Everything applies. You are to do it as God says. You are not to do it as God says. Nothing more, nothing less. That's it. And when you stop and look at it that way, and you say, probably ought to know this, shouldn't I? If I'm required to meet every bit of it perfectly, I better know it. Question or rule number two, that it is spiritual and so reaches the understanding, will, affections, and all other powers of the soul, as well as words, works, and gestures. It's spiritual. My question too, to what part of our lives do the Ten Commandments apply? So based upon what we've done, what part of your life does the Word of God, does the law, the Ten Commandments, we're focusing on that right now, to what part of your life does it apply? Everything. Every part. Every part. Don't let the term there at the beginning of that rule, that it is spiritual. Now that's true, and again, the proof text at the top of page 400, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. All right? But the spiritual aspect, you know and I know, because God's word tells us this, but we know that everything we do is driven by our mind and our heart. Okay? What you say is a result of what you've thought and what you wanted to do, what you wanted to accomplish. What you do was because you thought about doing it and your heart purposed to get it done. Right? What the heart is doing and the mind in connection with it is spiritual. Right? People will do things, animals will do things, not people, but there are those that do things because it's simply what they respond, their actions, their reactions. There's no intent. In the realm of criminal law, there is something called the mens rea. There must be the criminal intent, the intent to do wrong in order for there to be a crime. Right? You had to purpose to do something. And that's true with us. It applies to every part of our life. It will impact us internally, what we think, okay? How our heart is responding. That's the emphasis in the New Testament. It's not just what you do. You don't have to kill somebody to violate the commandment, thou shalt not kill. Christ made that clear. If you hate them, you violated the commandment. Right? Hate is something that's heart and head. When you go out and you take the gun and pull the trigger and shoot them, now it's manifested itself in an action. But that action never happened apart from the head-heart influence. So with it being spiritual, it impacts us internally in what we're thinking and what's driving us, how we're responding at least internally to situations. And then, of course, it impacts the external. What gets said, what gets done as a result of what was thought, and the emotion that was involved in the carrying it out. And the Pharisees, for example, and there are modern-day Pharisees that get caught up with conformity externally. If I do and it can be seen that I am doing what God's law says I should do, I'm okay. That was what the Pharisees took great pride in. That's why they wanted people to see what they were doing, because it was the approval and the acknowledgement of the people that in essence they relied upon for their righteousness. They wanted their external actions to prove that they were righteous. They had no heart for it. There are those who would say, well, in my heart, I want everything to be right. I want to please God in every way, but I really don't have to worry about that. Doesn't matter what I do, as long as in my heart. Right? That's kind of your extreme Christian liberty group today. Well, I know I'm saved. Yeah, and I want to please God, but doesn't matter what I do. Yeah. Something wrong. I mean, even the thought of that is a violation of the commandments when you stop and think about it. Right? Because you've immediately set yourself up above God. You just violated the first commandment, boom, just like that. Not to mention the other ones. So to show that you love God by disobeying him, is that the way you show you love God? I mean, does that make any sense at all? No, it doesn't make sense. Is that the way you would show that you're loyal to your country? Well, it doesn't matter if I shoot the enemy, if I shoot my own fellow soldier. You know, what does it matter? I'm out here and I want us to win. Well, your actions certainly matter. And they do as a Christian. And we've got Matthew 22 on page 400, one of the proof texts. And this is Christ. This is Christ speaking. And Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, Right? It's not external, that's internal. With all thy heart, with all thy soul, that's internal. That's spiritual. And with all thy mind, same thing. Do you see anywhere where Christ said, now, this is the way you love the Lord, is by doing everything? No. Christ focused on the source that drives the action. So as we come to the Word of God, as we come to this law, it's got to impact us internally before we ever expect to have an external result, good result. All right? All right, number three. And if you got a question or a comment, you know, holler at me, raise a hand, whatever. More than happy to discuss or listen or let you share. I don't have a corner on all the things that need to be said and thought in these things. All right, number three, that one and the same thing in diverse respects is required or forbidden in several commandments. You won't steal without coveting. You can covet without stealing. Right? Just an example. You can... Well, we'll get to some of the ones when we get in. But it's not that each commandment has its own little territory. Its own little application. Okay, which commandment applies here? Well, there may be three or four of them. Which commandment's going to apply every time? Which one? The first one. The first commandment applies every time. Right? But you can get some particular applications, obviously, which we'll see as we go along. And they will apply. Some will apply here, some will apply there. Some won't apply at times, others will. All right? We're to be mindful of them constantly. But we don't have to find in everything we do compliance. Oh, now let me see. First, I'm good there. The second, I'm okay there. That's not the intent. The intent is to give, if I can do it this way, as we, children do things, and as we grow older, we continue. The more you do something, the more automatic it becomes. Right? And given, if you're in a given profession, you do things, boom. You don't even have to think about them anymore. Just do them. Athletes particularly. They do it so much. In part, military would be this way. Law enforcement, you train and you because you don't have time to go through a checklist a lot of times. You got to do it split second. So the more you do it, the easier it is to do that. Well, that's true with the commandments. The more we think about them, study them, and use them, knowingly, intentionally, the easier the response. That would be a part of what we call sanctification too, where we are becoming more and more righteous. The response becomes easier and less carnal, unrighteous, sinful. Now, what we used to do so easily and readily, now the opposite is what we're doing. But you got to work at it. But main thing on this one is just that there are overlaps. Number four, that as where a duty is commanded, the contrary of sin is forbidden. All right? So if the command says you are to and this is a commandment, so it'd be the fifth would be one, or the fourth, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, in that commandment is the forbidding of doing anything that fails to keep it holy. Same with honor your father and mother, the fifth. Well, anything that fails to do that is a violation of that commandment. It's in the affirmative, but it has the negative side. Just as every negative, as the thing we'll go on, we'll see in a minute, has a positive. That as where a duty is commanded, the contrary sin is forbidden, and where a sin is forbidden, the contrary duty is commanded. So, where a promise is annexed, or annexed, the contrary threatening is included, and where a threatening is annexed, the contrary promise is included. So, you can read it both ways. Apply it both ways. Understand it both ways. That if God has given a promise for the obedience, there will be a punishment for disobedience. Remember the rules about law? Fourth one, every law must have a what? A consequence. Every law must have a consequence. With obedience to the law, what's the consequence? That we've summed it up. One word. Peace. Right? You have peace. Disobedience, you have punishment. Okay? That's what's they're basically saying here. Where the blessing and the peace is promised, you don't do it, there's going to be punishment and a lack of peace. Just flip it 180 and you'll see what the other side that's there. And I'm going to go ahead and read 5 and 6, and then we'll kind of deal with them with our questions. That what God forbids is at no time to be done. What he commands is always our duty. We've touched on that. And yet every particular duty is not to be done at all times. Okay? And we've touched on that. Number 6, that under one sin or duty, all of the same kind are forbidden or commanded. Very important. Together with all the causes, means, occasions, and appearances thereof, and provocations thereunto. Right? The same kind are forbidden or commanded. So that's where you got Christ saying, I'm telling you, if you hated, if you dealt improperly to that in with that kind of emotion toward a brother, you violated the commandment. In there, two or three, he gave several examples. The adultery was one. It's not committing the act of adultery, it's even considering or being the lust is what he used to say that's a violation of the commandment. You're not to do this. So every aspect of that, and that gets to be, and we'll see when we get into these commandments, You start realizing, yeah, it applies to everything in my life. It's very, very broad. Which is my third question: are the Ten Commandments to be viewed broadly or narrowly in application? What do you think? Broadly or narrowly? Broadly. You know, guess it was it one of Dr. Bob's, if in doubt, don't do it. And if you're not sure, then you want to be on God's side. As to yourself. Now, this is one of these places where you got to be real careful. For yourself, as far as I'm concerned, for me, I want to make these, I want God's law to be as broad. I want to make sure that I am as righteous as I can be before God. But I've got to be careful that while I may apply one of these laws in a way that for me, I need it to apply that way. But it may be taking it and making it go a little further than it otherwise might go. So when I start taking the law of God and using it as a judge, as a rule, as a standard for you, I've got to be very careful. I've got to be very careful that I don't start expanding that law to make you behave the way I think you ought to. Right? And we have a tendency to do that sometimes. We are driven by who we are. We are driven by our preferences, by our biases, and we would be wise to keep that in mind, especially when we start taking this in the places where God has placed us to use the law to, as it were, correct or to govern properly. We've got to be real careful as to how we do it. I'm not saying that, well, when it comes to others, I do it narrowly. No, it's still broadly. Right? It's still broadly. I just have to be real careful how far I may be pushing one relative to others. The law is marked. The giving of the law is marked. And don't forget it. Two words that we've talked about that have to come into play with the law of God. The first one is love. The second one is mercy. Right? When we start applying God's law, we've got to make sure that we are as merciful as God is with us in what we hold people to. It doesn't say God excuses. Again, I don't want to be thought that I'm saying, well, God excuses things in mercy. No. But God deals with things in a merciful way. Right? And oftentimes, the punishment that we might otherwise be due comes in a way that helps us to learn, helps us to correct, to grow, as opposed to just feeling the pain. Okay? Punishment that does nothing more than make you feel pain is just not good punishment. Punishment should help us learn to correct our way, to do what's right instead of what's wrong. That's why you punish children. That's why the law. That's why you get punished for driving too fast. They just want to take your money and make you feel the pain? No. Hopefully, the idea is, you know, what happens when I speed? I need to learn to drive more carefully. I need to be more aware of those signs they put up beside the road that do generally nothing more than block my view of something and irritate me. Now, when it says speed limit, then I need to be aware. I'm driving this road, what's the speed limit? You know, most of us, we'll just assume it's this, and if I haven't seen a speed limit sign, well, you know, do you remember? I guess it's still there. I haven't looked at a manual, but if you were in an unposted area, there were specified speed limits in the manual. If you were in a residential, I think it used to be 35. If you were out on the highway, I think it was 55. If it wasn't posted, now, I don't know what it is now, and I don't even know if they still have it. But I do remember that being in the manual. So even in an unposted area, you're held accountable because it's in the manual. And the judge could go right back to that manual and say, when you took your driver's test and got your license, you said you'd abide by the laws and the rules. And in this manual, on page such and such, it says, when you're in a residential area and there's no speed limit posted, the max speed is X speed, and then you must take into consideration conditions and so forth. So we got to keep in mind here the broadness of these things. And we will start next week. Let me read question four, and then next week we'll start through the proof text, because there's some things in the proof text I want us to see. What do we use to understand the full ramification of each commandment? All right, so we got the commandments. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy, we've got the commandments. So what do we use to understand if these commandments are to be broad, because they aren't broad in their words? You know, thou shalt not steal is pretty simple and direct, isn't it? But how do we find out what is encompassed in thou shalt not steal? What do we use? All of Scripture. All of Scripture. That's where we're going to fill out our understanding and see what all comes into play. And once we do, you start saying, yeah, makes sense, you know. And then use it. You know, if the Lord impresses, and I trust this will happen, if the Lord impresses upon your heart certain things about these commandments, let me suggest that you make a point to make use of whatever he's impressed you with in your life, in dealing with others, sometime during the week. The Lord says, you know, this is the way you need to deal. This is how you need to treat or react to this. Or this is how you need to to approach this. Well, if he impresses that upon your heart as we look at these commandments, you try to make a point during the week. All right, Lord, I need to put this in. You brought this to my attention for a reason, and I can almost guarantee you that somewhere along the way, you'll have occasion to use it during the week. It's amazing how many, and it'll be amazing to you, I think. To me, I look at these things and every week, you know, here's this commandment, here's this one, here's this. Now, how does this come into play? I find myself even, okay, which commandment comes into play here? Am I being obedient? Do I need to go back and study some more and see if there's more that applies here?